Die, Edward Bradley! Die!
What?
You need to be careful with that thing. You could have someone's eye out. Ed, run!
Doctor, you did remember!
How could I forget you, Ed? Now run!
Okay.
I'll join you in a minute.
You and Bradley are non-conforming elements and must be removed. The story must play out as written.
Nope, I don't think I'm going to let that happen. Listen, Buttercup, was it? You must stop this. This isn't you.
The story must continue. Non-conforming elements must be removed.
So you said. I must say, the walls around here are incredibly short.
What?
Yes, on Jasperus 4, they're enormous. 100 feet tall. Some brick, some mud, but here... they're all so tiny, barely walls at all. And as for the flowers, well, on the planet Lanigan, they're very colourful, almost rainbow, and they sing. Sort of a cappella ballad, very, very loud. Bit like Volume Regulator 7, always killing the party by telling the time matches. Oh, they're a rum bunch, always in for a pudding at all, especially if their salmon is involved. And as for the milk jugglers... Welcome back.
Yeah. What happened?
You were being controlled by some force.
The Queen?
Yes, I should think so. Still, her hold over you is broken now. Used a whizzy little trick, I know. Now come on, we need to catch up with Ed.
Still, her hold over you is broken now. Used a whizzy little trick, I know. Now come on, we need to catch up with Ed.
Am I surrounded by imbeciles?
Well, mistress, let me see.
That was a rhetorical question, you nincompoop! If you want a job done, you may as well do it yourself. Mira, have my carriage prepared.
Yes, your supremeness.
Well, that certainly fits my theory. The beauty of my wizard disguise was that because I appeared to fit into this world, I could push the boundaries quite a bit and get away with it. You, on the other hand, Ed, haven't fitted in at all.
Sorry, should have tried harder, really.
No, Ed, you're brilliant. It's exactly your refusal to conform that's challenged this fantasy. Your cynicism has managed to infect everything you've come into contact with, and I believe that whoever is maintaining this world is struggling to control it. That's how I managed to free Buttercup here. And that is how we're going to escape.
So, do you have a plan?
Yes. I think I know what is happening here. Did you know that this world has an end? I found it, a white void of nothing. Like somewhere else I've visited, but I don't think that's where we are this time. Before I could examine it properly, I was dragged back here. The controller of this world clearly has a defined beginning and end. It likes to keep everyone doing what it perceives is their purpose. As for the reason why you are compelled to complete your quest, Ed, I think that's something separate. I'm not sure why yet, though.
Doctor, your plan!
Ah, yes. We rescue the princess.
You are rescuing precisely nothing! You have disturbed the narrative flow for far too long now! My pathetic minions failed to stop you, but I will not!
I am the person you want. The other two are of no consequence. Let them go.
Oh, you are so wrong, my dear. It is Edward that is the important one. He holds the remainder of the gift, and like everything else I see and want, I shall have! Oh, did you call your eyes and hurt you when it pierced your teeny weeny chest? Come to Mama and she gives it all better!
What have you done to him?
I just send a shard of ice towards his heart. It will slowly grow and grow until his blood freezes and his insides turn to crystal. Lucky for me, there is a side effect to this. It makes him my slave! Oh, joy for me! Only the kiss from his true love can melt the ice, but I hardly think that's likely. Do you?
You can't do this.
Oh, you poor thing. I just have. Come now, Edward. Oh, just one more thing. Don't follow me. Well, look correctly. You won't be able to follow me. What? You are frozen forever! Blizzard! Summon you! Come forth and do my bidding!
Buttercup, run! Ned, remember what I said earlier. Keep cynical.
Snow swept across the area, leaving a blanket of white and a large block of ice containing the frozen body of the Doctor. Pulcrina returned to her palace with Ed. Months passed. The Doctor still remained frozen, Ed grew colder and more enthralled in the Queen's power, and there was no sign of Buttercup. Over time, the inhabitants of the land heard of the great wizard frozen in ice and took that as a sign that if he'd failed to defy the Queen, then they certainly stood no chance. Slowly, everything in the land went back to the way it had always been. Pulcrina's power grew, but she still could not figure out how to draw the gift from Ed, to her frustration. She no longer gained any enjoyment from using him as her little puppet and was growing bored. Little did she know that three lonely figures were trudging through the snow towards the Doctor, a wolf, a woodsman, and a fairy.
Aren't you ever so cold? The woodsman has his big hunting jacket. I have my gorgeous fur coat, while you have a tutu.
Nah, I'm fine, thanks. Fairies don't feel the cold.
Here we go, old chaps. Here's that Doctor fella.
Blimey, Cleaner got him good and proper. Can you get him out?
There's nothing that these here tools couldn't do, my lad. Finest tools in the land. Rightio, let's get to it.
Let me think. If what I've learned from the Doctor is correct, then I should be able to manipulate the world long enough for us to free him without the Queen seeing us.
Whilst Buttercup screwed up his eyes and concentrated on making them appear invisible, the woodsman busied himself with his instruments, slowly chipping away at the ice. Several hours later, the Doctor was free.
Is he alive?
I reckon so. Doctor? Doctor!
What's happening? Why can't I move?
Gosh, he's a strong one.
The wolf is hugging you, Doctor. His fur coat should be helping you to keep warm.
My pleasure. I would have got the woodsman here to slit me open and let you warm up inside. But alas, I can no longer do that since we've been freed of our drudgery.
I remembered what you did to me, Doctor. Use the same technique on these two. You were able to get up?
No problem. I have the constitution of a Venusian slime skimmer, although luckily not the smell. Let's get to the palace and rescue Ed and the princess. Now, how do we get there?
Hop on my back and I'll run there. If I couldn't have you inside me, the very least I could do is let you ride me.
Yes. To the palace.
Oh, Edward, how can I get into that precious little head of yours and claim what's rightfully mine?
I live only to serve you, my queen, and if I could give you my gift, I gladly would.
Forgive me, your loftiness. I have news which may upset you greatly. Please, do not break me.
What now?
It is the one they call the Doctor. He escaped. He is heading towards the Princess's tower now.
Oh, this cannot be! Still, this could be a chance to prove your worthiness to me, Edward Bradley. I will take this sword, go to the tower, and remove the Doctor.
Anything for you, but I am so weak and know not of the ways of the swordsman.
Drink this potion. It will give you strength and skill.
Riding on the wolf's back, the Doctor, Buttercup and the Woodsman set off towards the palace. Very soon they arrived at the tower where the princess was being held captive. There was no door.
There's no door!
I know. Classic fairy story.
What?
Oh, nothing. Leave this to me. I know how to do this. Princess! Oh, princess! Come to your window!
Hello down there. What do you want?
We've come to rescue you. Now let down your hair.
You what?
Let down your hair.
Okay.
There we go. Easy peasy. Now we just climb up her hair and rescue her.
I say, Doctor, I don't wish to be a bore, but have you seen her hair?
What do you mean? What kind of princess has her hair in a bob?
So, what now?
Doctor, old boy, would it not be possible for the chap with the wings here to fly up and bring the princess down?
Of course! Why didn't I think of that? Well, I guess being frozen for several months does affect your brain slightly. Okay, Buttercup, do your thing.
All right, here goes. Whoa!
Buttercup flew to the very top of the tower and caught the princess. Gratefully, she clutched onto Buttercup and flapping as hard as he could, he lowered her to the ground.
Blimey, for a princess you ain't half heavy.
I prefer to say I'm dimensionally transcendental.
Whatever you say. We got the princess. What do we do now?
We rescue Ed. Come on.
Let me save you the trouble.
Ed? What's happened to you?
Nothing. I'm the best I've ever felt.
You're just so pale. What has she done to you?
She has made me feel more alive than ever, which is more than can be said for you. En garde!
But I'm unarmed.
Here, Doctor. Get your belly mitts on that.
A sword. Thanks. Right, Ed. I'm not going to hurt you.
Begin! You're a decent fellow, Doctor. I hate to kill you.
You're a decent fellow. I hate to die.
I met apes with more skill than you.
I'm glad to hear you attended your family reunion.
I once owned a dog that was smarter than you.
He must have taught you everything you know.
Okay, I admit you're better than I am.
Then why are you smiling?
Because I know something you don't know.
And that is?
I'm not really left-handed!
Well, seeing as we're being so honest with each other, I ought to tell you something.
Well?
I'm not left-handed either.
Take that!
Ha! Whoa!
I have beaten you and now stand over you, victorious. You will get up and then kneel before Ed!
Okay, you win. I give in. I pledge my allegiance to you, and as a mark of respect, I wish to kiss your hand.
Pathetic. Kiss my hand then, you fool. Wait, what are you doing? Let go of my hand. Stop now. You can't do this.
Ed, listen to me. I'm your friend, the Doctor. As your friend, I'm asking you to do me a favour. Kiss your own hand.
No,
No, I won't. You can't make me.
Then you leave me no choice. Everyone, close your eyes and will Ed to kiss his hand.
Okay!
Okay!
What's happening? I can't control my hand. What's going on?
Here, look. The colour's returning to his face.
Ed?
Doctor? Where am I? What am I doing with this sword? Oh my god. Oh, Doctor, I am so sorry. Some of those things I said.
Don't worry about it.
So how did you know that kissing myself would free me? And why didn't you use it earlier?
I didn't know. Well, not until you started spouting all that tosh during the sword fight. You were so full of yourself. That's when I remembered what Queen Polkrina said. Only the kiss from his true love can melt the ice. And that's when I guessed that your true love might be yourself.
Hey, that's just mean.
Still, it worked. Right, I think it's time we had a little word with the Queen.
I can't believe that my little plaything Ed has been tricked like that.
Majesty, the flow of the story is becoming completely compromised. I suggest we leave.
No, never. I will never leave. I will force them to continue. They will obey me or die.
Polkrina, I insist on speaking with you. This has to stop now.
No, my dear doctor. This cannot stop. And you cannot stop me.
It's no good, Polkrina. I know what you are.
And no good it would do you. Take this!
Your magic won't work anymore. I can hold it back with my mind as easily as you can produce it. Your hold over this world is loosening by the minute, Polkrina. You must set these people free.
No, Doctor. These people have no purpose but to follow my story. They keep the narrative flow going. I will never set them free!
Then I have no choice but to do this. Ed, see that vase over there?
Yes?
Just unfocus your eyes slightly. Do you see? The wall next to the vase.
It looks flat. A bit sort of two-dimensional.
That's it. Now ignore the items in the room. Just reach out your hand and grab.
The air?
Yes.
Okay.
No! You mustn't!
Have you got it, Ed? Now pull.
Doctor, the room. It's not solid. It's just paper.
Yep. Now, Polkrina, will you release them?
You cannot do this to me! Please!
Release them! Ed, pull!
Okay, you win. I will release them.
What happened to Polkrina? She seems to have become a book. And the wolf. And the woodsman. And Buttercup. They're all normal people.
Oh, Polkrina's much more than a book. Aren't you, Polkrina? Or should I call you the third book of children's fairy tales?
That's right, Doctor. I used to be a book until I became unwanted. Thrown out of a spaceship with rubbish and left adrift through eternity. Until...
Let me guess, until you met a similar unwanted alien intelligence?
Yes, we joined up, and I learned so much from it, and it so much from me. We drifted to the far reaches of the galaxy until we found this planet. There were people here just like in my stories, and so I knew at once that they could become the characters in my tale. The people found me and took me to their home, and it was here I realised I had the power to create a whole world! to take these people and use them to bring the stories to life. I was so happy until you and Edward came along, that is.
You realise that's wrong, don't you? You can't manipulate people against their will.
But the narrative flow had to be maintained. There had to be a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Not at the expense of the freedom of these people. Books shouldn't dictate what people do. Books should engage the reader, take them on a journey they want to take, inspire them. You had it the wrong way round. With your powers, you could help these colonists live out their own stories, not force them to live out yours. It would make you happier than you've ever been, I promise.
I didn't realise these people had feelings and dreams of their own. My characters have none of these things. They're very simple, living out a life from start to finish.
Maybe I can sort something out between you and the colonists, if they're willing to forgive you.
They talked for several hours with the Doctor mediating. Soon they all came to an agreement. The colonists would bring the people to the planet to live out their very own fairy stories, which the book would bring to life. The book was happy with this because all it wanted to do was tell stories. The colonists would help develop the book's ideas, and the book liked this because after telling stories, learning was its second favourite thing. And they all lived happily ever after. Hang on, there was just one more thing.
Doctor? Everyone else here has changed back to what they were originally, except the princess. Why is that? And where is the TARDIS?
Well, remember that you couldn't turn back on your quest, and that it didn't seem to be part of the fairy tale world?
Yes.
Well, I figured out why. It's because you had the gift.
Ah, yes, this gift business. What was that about?
Well, why don't you kiss the princess and see?
I thought you'd never ask. Princess, bucket yourself up.
Well, about time.
You smell of balsa wood.
Ed, you might want to open your eyes now.
Okay. What? Ah, I'm kissing a blue box!
Hello, old girl.
Wait, this was a beautiful princess a moment ago. Are you saying she was the TARDIS all along?
Yep, and the gift was the TARDIS's ability to move through time. As we were being drawn to the planet, she obviously sensed the book's intelligence and seeing it as a threat, transferred the ability into you for safekeeping. It was the TARDIS pulling you towards the palace, not the book. And it couldn't reform until the two elements were brought back together, hence the kiss.
I never get any action with the ladies. They're either time machines or they're trying to kill me.
Never mind, Ed. I think the colonists and the book have lots of things to discuss. We'd better leave them to it.
As the Doctor and Ed left, everyone got to know each other better, and soon the planet became famous. It was a place the sick and elderly came to live out their greatest fairy tale adventures, and because it made them happy, it made Book happy. And that's why, every year on Happily Ever After Day, we celebrate the arrival of the Doctor and Ed, and praise the Book for all our wealth and happiness. No, I don't think so. It's getting late, and you know it's Happily Ever After Eve. Now go get tucked up in bed. You don't want to be awake when the Doctor comes to give you your presents, do you?
Good night, Daddy.
Happily After Daddy.
You too. Good night.